happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. What a blessing to have a godly mother. I had a godly mother, and thankful for her. We're going to finish up the lesson today. As was mentioned in the fall, I was stepping in and teaching during the school year. Now the school year is over, so next week we hand the reins back to Dr. Vogel to give you what he's got. All right, so today we're going to finish up, Lord willing. Well, I have to finish how far we get. We'll just kind of skim through some of it at the end, I'm sure. But overcoming a critical spirit. Ooh, yeah, we've had some heart-searching lessons as of late. And I hope this has been helpful to you. I've had some comments. Some folks have said it's been insightful and convicting. And, of course, the Word of God is powerful. And I hope it'll be a help to us as we look at our own lives. So let's pray, and we'll finish up the lesson. Father, we do thank you for your love, your faithfulness. And I ask, Lord, as we look into this lesson, you give me wisdom to focus on what's needed most. And then also, Lord, to be a help and encouragement. And give us some thoughts on having victory over ourselves and over our sinful ways and the wrong attitudes that we have at times. And I just pray that you continue to use your word, the truth, in our hearts and lives. Give us, again, encouragement to know that we can have a better life when we follow your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm not going to reteach the whole entire lesson, but I'm going to quickly give you an overview for those of you who are here for the first time visiting. We defined a critical spirit, and not go through that whole point again, but basically a critical spirit, all criticism is not bad. There is such a thing as constructive criticism, which is offered to help people and to build people up. A critical spirit, on the other hand, is offered in the wrong way and with the wrong motive and is more to tear down than it is to build up. And we described it, looked at verses along the way. It's selfish, it's manipulative, it's fault-finding, it is argumentative, it is condemning, it's unmerciful, it's unkind. And then thirdly, we looked at the development of a critical spirit. How do we get this thing in the first place? And we've noted that it's from pride. It also can stem from bitterness. It can stem from being from sensitivity, having an overly sensitive spirit. And then with some, the idea of just seeking control over other people. And certainly carnality. And we noted that the last part was hyper-spirituality. Trying to be right, but being right in the wrong way sometimes and coming down and criticizing people without having the right attitude. Last week, we started in on point number 4 in our outline, and that was the dangers of a critical spirit. First of all, it cuts, right? There is, it speaketh like the piercings of a sword. So if your words are always cutting, slicing, and jabbing, it's good indication you've got a critical spirit. So we have to be careful of that. We have to be careful not to just be cutting people down all the time. Again, are there times that having constructive criticism is helpful? Yes. But the whole point of just ripping people and tearing people and jabbing people constantly, no one likes that, and it's not helpful. Secondly, so again, wow, see how fast I went through the review. Got through 2 weeks in 2 minutes. So it cuts, but another danger of a critical spirit is that it provokes. And this is where we'll begin today. In Proverbs 15, verse number 1, it says, part of the verse says, grievous words stir up anger. Grievous words stir up anger. Those grievous words refer to having a speech that either causes pain or sorrow. That's what grief is. It's pain and sorrow. And when if our words cause pain in a person's heart. Now, not all pain's wrong. Remember, we looked at another verse, faithful the wounds of a friend. Sometimes we do need to be wounded by our friends to help us. Give us some constructive criticism. We might not like it at first, but it's helpful. But grievous words, words used to just to inflict pain and sorrow and to beat people down without trying to help them, they can stir up anger. Let me ask it this way then. You might lash out, you might use name-calling and derogatory terms toward people, and you cut them and you hurt them. And you get surprised when you're just letting someone have it that they get angry at you. Well, we shouldn't be surprised when people get angry. So, well, I corrected my children and I just let my kids have it because they were being bad. I just lost it on them. And then they have a bad attitude. And you're wondering why they have a bad attitude, because grievous words stir up anger. It's the idea of knowing how to push people's buttons, right? You know which buttons to push to set them off. And when we are just pushing people's buttons to get them to go off, those are grievous words. They come from a critical spirit. And last time I checked in Matthew 5, verse 9, it teaches, blessed are the peacemakers, not the agitators. So are you more prone to irritating and agitating people? I mean, do you have the ministry of irritation? That you just got to know what to say and how to irk people? That's not a good way to be. So a critical spirit is dangerous because it cuts, it provokes, it's going to cause other people to have bad reactions. And then thirdly, and this is probably one of the biggest negativities of the critical spirit, is that it destroys. It destroys. And I'm going to take a little bit more time with this, but then I have to move on because we've got a whole lot of other points in the next one to cover. It destroys. But Galatians 5, verse 15 says this, but if ye, that's you, plural, if all you guys, bite and devour one another, now that's talking figuratively. I don't think any of us are going around taking a chomp out of somebody else's body, but that's the idea of using words and just going after one another. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. So a critical spirit is consuming. It destroys. It's out to hurt and injure. Really, then, if you think about it, critical spirit will destroy churches. If you have people in a church that are just going after each other, it's going to destroy the church. If you have it in a friendship, it's going to destroy friendships. It destroys marriages. It destroys relationships with children. There are some parents who have no relationship or not a good relationship with their adult children. And part of it is because of this idea of a critical spirit. You're not what I wanted you to be, and so I'm going to let you have it. I'm just going to cut and destroy you as much as possible. That's not the right attitude to have. Now, it's Mother's Day. But this was already pre-planned before Mother's Day came up. This following verse is about mothers, yes, and women, yes. But the principle applies to all of us. And the scripture says in Proverbs 14, verse number 1, every wise woman buildeth her house. So remember, we went back to that idea of constructive criticism. It builds, it helps. And we said a critical spirit is used to pull down and to destroy. This verse really covers both. It says, every wise woman buildeth her house. So what do you think is going to, what's the opposite of being wise? Foolish. And what's the opposite of building? Destroying. And so here we have, I'll finish the verse now. It says, but the foolish, talking about the foolish woman, and it applies to all of us, But the foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. One, the wise woman, uses constructive criticism to build her family. The foolish woman is always picking and nagging and cutting and jabbing and is only pulling down, plucking down her home. So that phrase, plucketh it down, means to pull down, to destroy. We've had Dr. David Sorensen preach here many times, and he wrote a commentary on the Bible. His commentary on this verse reads this way. He says, the greater thought about this verse likely is how that a woman, a wise woman, will encourage and strengthen her family, while a foolish woman will criticize and tear them down. He suggests that this term, plucks down with her hands, is a metaphor. It's not literally she's going about with her hands destroying the structure of the home. He continues, the likely thought is of tearing down one's family by criticism and nagging. And isn't that a reminder of how powerful our tongue can be? The same tongue can be used to build people up and help them, issue compliments, encourage. The same tongue can be used in a negative, derogatory way to pull people down. Now, how do you use words in relationships at home? Husband, how do you speak to your wife? Not just on Mother's Day. Oh, thank you for being the mother of our children. You did a nice job. Hopefully it goes a little bit beyond that, right? How do you speak to your husband? Are they constructive, helpful words? Or, man, you're a lazy good for nothing. How come you haven't got this done yet that I've asked you to do like for 5 weeks in a row, and you just come home and plop down after work and read the paper? And he says, yeah, but all you do is sit around the house. How come it's dirty over there? You know, it's like, oh, come on, right? What a wonderful, loving home. No. How do you talk to your kids? We need to be careful. You know, kids are kids. They make mistakes. Sometimes they're bad. Sometimes they frustrate us. Sometimes they irritate, right? But you have to be careful not to lash out and be needlessly harsh. I think I've used this in a lesson on this poem, in a lesson on raising children at some point, but I thought it was very appropriate for this point. It's written, author's unknown, but obviously it's written by a woman, and she says this, I ran into a stranger as he passed by. Oh, excuse me, please, was my reply. He said, please excuse me too, I wasn't even watching for you. We were very polite, the stranger and I. We went on our way and we said goodbye. But at home, a different story is told, how we treat our loved ones, young and old. Later that day, cooking the evening meal, my daughter stood beside me, very still. When I turned, I nearly knocked her down. Move out of the way, I said with a frown. She walked away, her little heart broken. I didn't realize how harshly I'd spoken. While I lay awake in bed, God's still small voice came to me and said, while dealing with a stranger, common courtesy you've used, but the children you love you seem to abuse. Look on the kitchen floor. You'll find some flowers there by the door. Those are the flowers she brought for you. She picked them herself, pink, yellow, and blue. She stood quietly, not to spoil the surprise, and you never saw the tears in her eyes. By this time, I felt very small, and now my tears began to fall. I quietly went and knelt by her bed. Wake up, little girl, wake up, I said. Are these the flowers you picked for me? She smiled. I found them out by the tree. I picked them because they're pretty like you. I knew you'd like them, especially the blue. I said, daughter, I'm sorry for the way I acted today. I shouldn't have yelled at you that way. She said, oh, Mom, that's okay. I love you anyway. I said, daughter, I love you too, and I do like the flowers especially the blue. What a heartfelt response by a mom who realized she didn't treat her child the way she should. And God convicted her, and she was willing to actually go and make it right with her daughter. Let us be careful how we treat one another, but then also when we realize where we've gone wrong, be willing to go and make those amends. We don't want to use criticism and have this critical spirit to hurt the people we love the most. So it destroys. Again, it destroys churches and friendships and homes. It doesn't have to. And when we find ourselves slipping into this idea of having this critical spirit, we've got to stop, deal with it, and make those corrections. So that's where we're going to get to our last point, point number five, but it's very pointed if you have the outline. And so some simple ideas on the defeat of a critical spirit. How do we have victory over this idea of having a critical spirit? First of all, identify the root cause and repent. Earlier in a previous lesson, we saw how there are a few reasons why we become critical. I mentioned them as we reviewed. Sometimes it's out of pride, bitterness. We harbor bitterness toward people, and it comes out in our speech, in our actions. Sometimes the idea of trying to control people and being just carnal. Whatever the reason is, as we went through those, and you may have to go back and re-listen to it or look at those scriptures again, whatever that reason is, confess it and repent. Determine, this is bad. I don't want to continue this way. And by the way, sometimes we have to continually confess and repent. Because we're sinners. We have a corrupt flesh. If we're prone to a certain thing, it may raise its head back up. We deal with it, we confess it, we repent, and then we're having victory, and then this old sinful flesh gets the best of us again. And you have to stop and confess and repent again. You know, I wish the day I got saved that I never had to deal with sin again. Now, God forgave all my sin, but I still have this corrupt, sinful flesh, and I'm going to battle this till the day I die. Thankfully, I can battle it in His strength and power, and so can you. Some days we're more victorious than others. And by the way, go back to a previous lesson on forgiveness. Other members of the church, other members of your family, cut them some slack. They're sinners too. You want people to cut you slack and forgive you when you've messed up. Do the same. Forgive them. And if we could love and forgive one another, our church, our homes, our friendships will move on in a whole much better way. But we want to hold on to those little offenses against us, and we want to rehearse them, and we want to bring them up. And that's bitterness, and that's showing a lack of forgiveness. Anyway, let me continue here. Confess it, repent of that underlying sin that caused it, and do that every time. Isaiah 55:7 says this, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." If you'd like, you can turn to James chapter 4. We'll look at verse number 12 for the next point. So we need to identify the root cause and repent. Secondly, if we want to defeat this critical spirit, we need to, it's simply this, remember your place. So I'm in church. That's not what I'm talking about. Remember your place. Remember your position in life. And remember who you are and who you aren't. And you'll see James chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" So who is this one lawgiver? It's God. You know what we need to remember? You and I, we're not God. And we're not supposed to be taking God's job. And sometimes we're the self-appointed, you know, spiritual police that we're going to monitor how everybody else acts. And we're going to control how they act and how they react. And we're going to let them know how wrong they are. Be careful of developing that critical spirit. And remember your place. Your place is you're just a mutual sinner. And yes, we can help offer criticism, constructive criticism one to another. But remember who the God is, the judge. Don't put yourself in God's place. Another verse, I'll just read it for you, is Romans 14:4. And as I'm giving you that, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 13 for the next point so we can get there. But remember your place. You're not God. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? And this is God asking the question. Who are you? Who do you think you are to become the judge when I am the judge? Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. If we remember that we're just human, fellow human beings, and remember God is God, it would help us not to be overly critical. Thirdly, and this is in 1 Corinthians 13, learn to love others. Learn to love others. And that's not always easy because some people are not very lovable. But then again, neither are we sometimes. So 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, the word charity is talking about the sacrificial love. And it says, charity suffereth long, puts up with people, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't promote itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It's not always got its best. If I love someone, my best interest is not always primary. The other person's is. It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. So it's not thinking the worst of people. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things. It means we have to put up with people sometimes, just like they have to put up with us. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. So as we look at this passage, we see that love is kind, not cutting. It's not going to push other people down in order to exalt ourselves. That was part of the definition of in looking at a critical spirit. It's not going to be easily provoked. You know, someone provokes me, I'm going to come right back at them. That's not a good attitude to have, right? And it's going to think the best of others, not the worst. It's going to be patient. And love then is the opposite of a critical spirit. So we have to keep those things in mind. Love seeks to heal and to help. Hate is what seeks and desires to hurt others. So let's just look at our lives and see what's coming out of our mouth, the attitudes that we have, and see why they're coming out, and let God's love change us. And by the way, you can't just manufacture this love on your own. Who produces that love? The Holy Spirit. And we're going to see that in the next point. So the fourth thing in defeating a critical spirit is to yield to the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to have control. I was in a home yesterday. We were speaking to some folks, and just the idea of the flesh and the spirit. They were saved people. The flesh and the spirit fight against each other. And so my flesh wants to do wrong. The Holy Spirit wants to do what's right. And the one I feed is the one who's going to have control. If I yield to the flesh and say, yeah, I just want to let that person have it, yeah, then flesh steps in, takes control. Or I can yield to the Spirit and say, okay, bite your tongue and have peace and not react the way you want to react. And remember, God's got this. And then if I yield to the Holy Spirit, then He can love through me. So we have to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit and crucify the flesh. Now, crucify means to put to death. We don't kill ourselves, but we put to death the things that we want to do that are not right. All right, and we can allow the fruit of the Holy Spirit to control us. And part of that fruit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is, the first one on the list is love. Again, love is the opposite of having this critical spirit. So how do we overcome it? We have to have love toward others. How do we have love? Telling ourselves, no, I'm not going to do this wrong thing, and say, Holy Spirit, Lord, would you please have control? I yield myself to you, and he will help us through. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. See, all these things are opposite of a critical spirit. Gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. So he makes us loving, and patient, and gentle, and kind. We need more of God's working in us than letting ourselves work out. And sometimes we'll, I mentioned last week, we'll take that righteous stand. We're standing for what's right. And say, this is what's right, but we take that stand the wrong way. We have the wrong spirit and the wrong attitude. Hey, I'm just as guilty as everybody else. And I have to fight this flesh. I have to yield to the Lord. I have to realize, this is not the right attitude. And say, yeah, but how are you teaching on this? How can I teach on anything? Right? If I had to be an expert on everything, I couldn't teach on anything because I've got a wicked flesh. But I'm thankful God gives us victory. And we don't have to be defeated by any of these things. Amen? Let's continue. Here, fifthly, how do we defeat this critical spirit? Compare yourself to Christ, not to others. See, we get in trouble when we start thinking that we're better than other people. That's why we're criticizing them. We're putting them down because, obviously, you're not as good as me, so let me just push you down. And as I'm pushing someone down, I'm pushing myself up, right? And that's the whole idea that we get sometimes. We're just ready to put people down so that we can look better. But we're not supposed to compare ourselves to one another. We're supposed to compare ourselves to the Lord. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, for we dare not, he says, this is what we're not supposed to do, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, talking about these people who are wrongly doing this, they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So we'd be wise if we would compare ourselves to Christ, and when we do that, we're not so good, are we? You know, you might be better than someone in some way, but you compare yourself to Christ, you're going to realize, you can say, well, I'm pretty loving. Compare yourself to Jesus. I'm not so loving. I'm pretty patient. Compare yourself to Jesus. I'm not so patient. And so he's the best comparison, not one another. And we're really good at comparing ourselves to one another. And God said that that is not wise. If it's not wise, it must be foolish. Boy, we really don't do so well. But thankfully, we can come to church, read our Bibles, get the instruction we need, correct these attitudes, trust the Lord to help us, and he can change us. And isn't it good that we can have victory? Isn't it good that he changes that sour spirit and that trouble you had at home with them, in your marriage and with the children and in different relationships, and you take the biblical principles, you humble yourself, you do what you should do, and you see God begin to mend things and help things? Praise the Lord. It doesn't have to be all negative. All right, let me keep going here. Another thing we can do is remember where your strengths came from, right? As I mentioned just a moment ago, you may be better than someone else in some area. But a good question to ask ourselves is, why? Well, just because I am. Oh, this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, if you want, you can turn there. This verse has been a very big help to me over the years. And many times I've had to go back to this verse. And God asks three very convicting questions. And when you get done with those three questions and you answer them honestly, you and I, we have no right to think we're better than anybody else. So let's look at it here. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? Okay, so who made you different than someone else? God did, right? You can say, but I'm smarter than them. Well, who gave you those brains? God did. Well, I'm more talented. Who gave you that talent? God did. So I've got more strength than someone else. Who gave you that strength? The Lord did. All right, the next question is, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Absolutely nothing. Everything we have, we received. We came into this world with nothing. So I'm a self-made man. Who gave you the strength to be able to build your business or to get the degrees that you have or any of that? God. Everything we have, we've received. So now, who made us different? God did. And what do we have that we didn't receive? Nothing. So the third question is, now, if thou didst receive it, okay, if you received everything you have, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Why are you glorying? Why are you boasting like you didn't get this in the first place? And the answer is, I don't know why. I shouldn't be, probably, right? And so these questions from this passage have helped me. And any advantage that we may have over another person is only because God has allowed us, but not so that we could look down and boast and put someone else down, but so that we can serve God and help others who may be deficient, offering that constructive criticism. All right, let's get to the next one. Focus on fixing your own problems first. This is another way we can defeat. And I'm going to read the Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam? You know, the mote's that little speck that beams, you know, like a big 2x4 coming out of your own eye, right? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of the brother's eye. So we're not in a position to help others until we examine our own lives first. We're not forbidden to try to help the guy who's got the little speck in his eye, but you can't help him until you get the big 2x4 out of your own. So take care of your problems, and you'll be in a better position to help others. I'm just have to give you these next so we can finish up. If you got your outline, letter H, humble yourselves, 1 Peter 5, 5 through 6, right? We're supposed to be clothed with humility. To be clothed means to be covered, right? Be covered with humility. And if we're humble, we're not going to be pushing people down and we're going to let God lift us up. Then the next point is this, forgive offenses. People are going to harm you. They're going to hurt you. They're going to offend you. So when people wrong you, instead of becoming critical of them and pointing out their faults to everybody else, why they're so bad because they criticized you, forgive them. Forbearing, Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, so also do ye. God forgave us. We must be willing to forgive. And then the next point is guard your tongue. Okay, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Try to speak words that'll be helpful and not harmful. Treat others how you would like to be treated. Golden rule right there. Next one, show respect to everyone. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men. It's difficult to be critical of people that we're respecting. And if we're cutting them down, it's because we have a lack of respect. But God says we're supposed to respect others. Then consider others better than yourself. That's Philippians 2:3. The next point, and I'm just giving you them to you, give people the benefit of the doubt. Paul was talking to the Corinthians, and he says, I thank my God always on your behalf. These were carnal people, but he didn't start out hammering them. He started out saying, I'm thankful to God for you, because he had constructive criticism to offer when he came around to offer it. He wasn't just trying to tear them down. Determined to speak encouraging words, the Bible says, exhort one another daily, and then pray for people that bother you. Pray for them, right? I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Don't pray angry prayers. Lord, get those people. Teach them a thing or two. No. Pray for them. And then look for reasons to compliment people. We all want to hear those two words from the Lord when we get to heaven. Well done. It's okay if we say those words to people on this earth and in this life, right? Tell your kids, well done, that's good. Tell someone they look nice. Just be kind. And then last, guard your heart. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. A critical spirit is definitely a heart issue. If you guard your heart, you'll also guard your spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we've had in the Word, and pray that it will be helpful to your people. And may we guard our hearts and examine our hearts and make sure that we're not allowing this critical spirit to ruin us and the relationships that we're involved in. I pray that you give us a good service to follow. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.